Cedric Foster reporting to you from the Mutual Newsroom in Washington. And Mutual is your radio news network for complete coverage of all important world events. You want to know what's going on, when and where, almost as it happens, stay tuned to your Mutual station. Now the news. The general question of unemployment still grips official Washington. For the conflict on how to deal with the recession, here is Mutual's Richard Rendell on Capitol Hill.
A north-south split within the Democratic membership of the House Rules Committee broke out today. That committee considers unemployment compensation legislation. Most Democrats want to give money, up to $1.7 billion, to those out of work. Republicans favor a system of loans. Chairman Howard Smith, Democrat of Virginia, calls the bill pure socialism, a goal. Another Democrat, Ray Madden of Indiana, pointed to tax policies toward oil, aircraft, and publishing companies, which make possible what he called bonanza. And then he said, why not do something for the man out of a job? This is Richard Rendell reporting from the Capitol.
President Eisenhower has asked the Soviet Union to accept the American proposal for inspection against surprise attacks from the Arctic. He wrote a letter to Nikita Khrushchev in which he said that the Arctic proposal, filed with the UN, would be a significant first step in relieving world tensions if it were to be accepted by East and West. Vice President and Mrs. Nixon are in Montevideo, Uruguay, for a two-day visit on an eight-nation tour of South America, while Turkey's Prime Minister Menderes arrived on Taiwan to visit Chiang Kai-shek. The Nixons received a warm welcome from a crowd of 500 people at the airport, including Senate President Lido Arroyo Torres. En route to the hotel, the Vice President stopped at a primary school. He picked up a 7-year-old youngster, and she kissed both the Vice President and Mrs. Nixon. United Steelworkers President McDonnell wants an all-out anti-recession spending program. He told the House Banking Committee it would be a small price to pay for reversing the economic trend. The temporary deficit of $10 billion was preferable, he declared, to losses of production, profits, dividends, wages, and salaries equal to an estimated $40 billion a year. Northeastern Texas, southern Arkansas have a flood danger increased by thunderstorms. Hundreds of persons have been driven from their homes by torrential downpours 12 inches over the weekend. Memorial services are going to be held on Friday in Appleton, Wisconsin, to observe the first anniversary of the death of the late Senator Joseph McCarthy. Jean McCarthy, the senator's widow, arrived today in Wisconsin for a visit of several weeks. General Twining says no sweeping realignment if the Pentagon is reorganized. Khrushchev congratulates Tito on his re-election as president. This despite Tito's critique on Russian interference in Belgrade affairs. The Air Force says it can hit the moon this fall with available rockets. The director of the Central Intelligence Agency, Alan Dulles, told the United States Chamber of Commerce, Russia's growth threatens to outstrip the United States. Those are today's headlines. I'll have my commentary on the news after this word from your announcer.
If your home ever goes up in flames and smoke, have you considered what you would lose? Not just a building, but a home. Not just the things you've bought, but personal belongings that may have a sentimental value as well as a useful one. Articles that can never be replaced, no matter how much money you have, would be in 9 cases out of 10, is 90% of all. These conflagrations cost our nation thousands of lives every year. Every 20 seconds throughout the year, a fire breaks out somewhere. That's more than 4,000 a day. They leave in their wake severely injured men, women, and children. Sometimes they result in death. Many of the homes lost through fires are irreplaceable. Now, don't take a chance on losing yours. Remember, since almost all fires are the direct result of carelessness, most can be prevented. Here are some fire prevention rules to memorize. Don't smoke in bed or discard lighted cigarettes carelessly. Clean out old newspapers and magazines. Promptly repair defective electrical equipment. Replace worn or frayed wiring. Use cleaning fluids that won't burn. Be careful with matches and keep them out of the reach of small children. Don't gamble with fire. The odds are against you. This message is brought to you as a public service.
This is Cedric Foster in Washington with my commentary on the news. It's an unusual day, to say the least, when the British Foreign Office doesn't have to sift through reports which deal with rebellion in some form in the disintegrating empire of Queen Elizabeth II. The latest assault upon British authority is in the Crown Colony of Aden. That's a British protectorate down on the steaming waters of the Red Sea, where those waters join those of the Gulf of Aden. They're an arm of the Indian Ocean. Rebel tribesmen today continued their assault against the British fort near the border of the Aden Protectorate and the Arab Kingdom of Yemen, which has worked out an association of sorts with the United Arab Republic of Egypt and Syria. Reuters news agency reported from Aden that a platoon of British guards holed up inside of the fort northwest of Fala in the western Aden Protectorate, about 70 miles, had been dropped fresh supplies by air, and they were holding out against the tribesmen. There were other reports today that the tribesmen had withdrawn. Robert Somerset, who was the British assistant advisor for the area, was trapped inside of the fort, and the tribesmen, armed with rifles and Bren-type machine guns supplied by Yemen, commenced their attack. Retaliation by the British was swift, coming from planes of the Royal Air Force. Venom rocket carriers and bombers attacked the rebels in the mountains. These British guards that are holed up inside the fort are the security force that ordinarily is strung out along the frontier between Western Aden and the Yemen. Hostile tribesmen have for years past indulged in forays and sorties against the Aden-Yemenite border, which, like most frontiers in that part of the world, is ill-defined. The country is rugged beyond description, barren of any real sustenance for man, and devoid in general of any plentiful water supply. The government of Yemen, which is utterly autocratic, which is ruled by a fanatical adherent to the Muslim faith, has claimed sovereignty over the Aden Protectorate for some time. In recent months, there have been several border clashes, and the British have protested to the Yemen government against unwarranted assaults on frontier fortifications. Likewise, the Yemeni have protested to the British against London's military actions. So the net result is that we get nowhere in the discussion, with each side condemning the other. But the Yemeni forces carried out, originating from inside of their own fortifications. It was troops that had been flown into Aden from Kenya Colony, which is now the main British base, servicing the remnants of the empire in that part of the world. The British base at Aden is of great strategic import in defense of Britain's tenuous lifeline, which is becoming more frayed as each year goes by. Aden is a great coaling port. It's the center of trade. It's a military and an air base as well. Kenya and Aden now take the place of Egypt and Cyprus, though Cyprus has not been dismantled. The situation in Cyprus and the refusal of the British to yield to the demands of the Cypriots for self-determination, that is, the Greek Cypriots, who constitute more than 80% of the island's population, is well known, and it's been dealt with in detail on many of my broadcasts in the last few years. Cyprus today is not the important strategic base in the British scheme of things that it has been in the past, but the Crown Colony of Aden is, along with King. I'll continue this commentary after this word from your announcer.
One of the most valuable servants of man is also one of his most feared enemies, fire. Each and every year, fire destroys and kills. Many, many times, the death and destruction caused by fire could be prevented. Why, it's almost unbelievable. But the records show that careless smoking habits, coupled with careless use of matches, are responsible for over 25% of all fires. If you smoke, don't take chances. When you're outdoors, make sure matches and butts are dead out before you throw them away. At home or out in your car, always dispose of them in an ashtray. Before emptying any ashtray, make sure it contains no glowing embers. Before you go to bed, especially after entertaining friends who are smokers, look around to see that no cigarettes have dropped into upholstered furniture or anywhere else where they could smolder and start a fire. And of course, never smoke in bed. Be smart. Be safe. Now back to Cedric Foster.
The British, of course, are in some trouble in Yemen. They're having a vexing time of it in the Maldive Islands, which have strung out from the southern tip of India, which the British are using for air bases to take the place of Trincomalee, where they were for many years in Ceylon. And on the island of Malta, there is opposition to British policy. Very briefly, the problem on that valiant Mediterranean island is that Britain has maintained naval dockyards and a great ship servicing station there for the Royal Navy. The gradual disintegration of empire has resulted in elimination of Malta from British plans, so the people of the island, who were decorated in toto for their withstanding unending Axis aerial attacks in the last war, find themselves in severe economic straits. They relied for their bread and butter on Governor Laycock, has taken over the day-by-day administrative duties on the island following the resignation last week of Maltese Prime Minister Dom Mintoff. Mintoff refused to accept any responsibility for the maintenance of law and order because of what he said were excessive cuts in Britain's contribution to the Maltese budget. The result is that plans for integrating Malta with Britain have been called off. Modern science has also played a part in the economic situation in Malta. The need for a British Navy is not as great as it was in the past because of the development of nuclear power. The island of Cyprus, of course, is a seething volcano. Cypriot Turks have decided to form separate municipalities and pay no more taxes to Greek Cypriot Council. The cities of Paphos and Famagusta were placed out of bounds for British troops as a Greek Cypriot ultimatum expired. It would be idle, of course, to deny that communists do not exploit these rebellions against the status quo, because they do. Some of these uprisings may or may not be justified. But the question may well be asked, are we to believe that they are necessarily wrong or that they are ill-advised simply because of communist exploitation? The Western world is now face to face with the facts of life in Colonel Nasser's visit to the Soviet Union's Western policy in dealing with this strongman of Egypt, among them being the personal visit that American Ambassador Raymond Hayer paid to Colonel Nasser's home on Friday night. Also, there is the World Bank's promise to study the question of the development of the Suez Canal. But it does seem to me today that we're learning, even though we are learning the hard way, that simply because we like baseball doesn't mean that everyone else in the world likes it, nor does it mean that if other people don't like it, that we should try to force them to play. That's my commentary for today.
And now an important message for the parents of small children from the American Hearing Society. Has your child had a hearing test recently? If not, have one made as soon as possible. Protect your youngster from the limitations deafness can bring. Today, deafness strikes 1 out of every 10, including 3 million children. But deafness can be avoided or cured through early discovery and prompt medical treatment. For those afflicted, modern hearing aids, auditory training, and skill in lip reading can help make a richer, fuller life. Since 1919, the American Hearing Society has been dedicated to the prevention and alleviation of deafness. It has sponsored hearing tests in schools. It has worked with your family doctor, the pediatrician, and others toward the prevention of deafness and the rehabilitation of the hard of hearing. For information about your children's hearing, write American Hearing Society, Washington 6, D.C. This message is a public service.
This is Cedric Foster reporting from the Mutual Newsroom in Washington. I'll be back tomorrow at the same time.
This is Mutual, the world's largest network.